So please pray for the resurrection celebration April 16th. Without power of God, without the power of the Holy Spirit, nothing will happen. Our prayer will bounce off this heaven, our prayer will bounce off the ceiling. The most important thing is we depend on His power. So let His power touch people's heart and soften their heart as we just sang, and they may come to know Jesus Christ. So turn your Bible with me to chapter 11 of the book of Mark. If you don't have Bible, would you raise your hand, please? Raise your hand, please. If you don't have Bible. Keep your hands up high, please. It's okay. If you're not familiar with the Calvary Chapel, most likely you didn't bring the Bible, but once you come to our church, you start to attend our church, Bible is a must. Okay? Chapter 11 of the book of Mark, which is the second book of the New Testament. Let's start. Jerusalem during the Passover time is a delight to the Jewish people and anxiety to the Roman soldiers. The reason is because during that time is a national holiday and national celebration. So devout Jews from all over the world and in the known world is coming toward the Jerusalem to celebrate. The excitement and national fervor is in the air. Same time, there's a Roman soldiers who's occupying the land of Israel have a problem. There's thousands of Jews, and they don't know how to handle this situation. It can be from some devout zealot against the Roman government trying to make a riot or trying to kill Roman official, or simply there could be a dispute between the religious group. So it can be intense. The population swells up to the 3 times more than normal size. In this situation, Jesus coming to Jerusalem, this is his last trip. As a matter of fact, this is the last 7 days of his life on the earth. We are going to cover the first 3 days this morning. And it will be very eye-opening for us. In this time, and after the 7 days, he's going to be hung outside the city wall, where they're known as Golgotha, and he will be crucified over there. And we have started the verse 1. Before we go there, we will pray. Heavenly Father, our hearts open to receive your truth. As we sang, soften our heart with the oil that comes from the Holy Spirit, that we may have the wisdom to understand your truth. Don't let it be just another Bible knowledge we can chalk up, but let it be our guideline, the life guideline that may deter us from the trap of Satan or direct us to the path of righteousness for your namesake alone. So we are asking you to teach us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1. Now when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent 2 of his disciples. He said to them, go into the village opposite you. As soon as you have entered, you will find the colt tied on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it in. If anyone say to you, why are you doing this? Say that the Lord has need of it. Immediately he will send it here. So they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside of the street, on the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, what are you doing loosing the colt? And they spoke to them just as Jesus has commanded them, so they let them go. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down the leafy branches from the tree and trees and spread them on the road. And those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus went into the Jerusalem and into the temple. So when he had looked around all things, as the hour was already late, he went out to the Bethany with the 12. On the road, Jesus took the travelers who would take here. He was coming down from the Galilee, which is way up there, the Sea of Galilee, and coming down the Transjordan area, this Jordan River and the west side of Jordan. This is known as West Bank now. It's coming down here, and here is the Jericho. And the coming down is the first one they would pass is Bethphage. And then next one will be Bethany. Bethany is about a little bit less than a mile. Bethphage is a little bit of about two miles, less than 2 miles of the Jerusalem. Bethphage and Bethany is about 2,600 feet above sea level. So when they stand there, they can see, pretty much see the Jerusalem, breathtaking scene. From the standing at the Mountain Olive, which is making a difference, that would be the scene. I'm sure they didn't see the Dome of Rock at the time. This is what you're standing at. The area we were standing was the Mount Olive. And looking down to the valley of the Jerusalem. All this time, Jesus was telling people, don't talk about me, don't talk about me. And when after he healed people, he said, go home, don't tell it to anyone. But however, this time, for the first time, he said, he's allowing his disciples to do the public demonstration of in his honor. Some skeptics would say, when we just read those 11 verses, he said, well, it talks about cult. But when you read Zechariah 9:9, it says about donkey. Let's go to Zechariah 9:9. I'll give you about 15 minutes to find Zechariah. Are you there yet? Good. Zechariah 9:9. I'm not talking about Zephaniah, Zechariah. I think they are brothers and sisters. Zechariah 9:9 says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on what? Donkey. A colt, a foal of donkey. Those who have a problem with a colt, and their concept of colt is a horse's colt. It's not necessary. What do you call the younger donkey? Colt. So Bible is not lying. Those who are trying to dispute and the contradiction in the Bible, they don't have a full knowledge of Bible. That's why they're causing problem. The person, only horse I would handle well would be the horse outside in a Super Walmart. Each ride, you just pay 50 cents. The very day was foretold by the Messianic prophecy verse. 483 years, that is the Jewish years, 360 days. According to Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 to 27, you will find, and you might want to jot it down and go study more. It said seven weeks. Each, 62 weeks. Each week represents 7 years. So when you calculate, it becomes 69 weeks. 69 weeks times 7 becomes 483 years. When you time that with the 360 days, become 173,880 days. You calculate from the day of the King Artaxerxes allowed the Jewish people to build the Jerusalem wall again. If you build that from the calculate from that day until the day, it's become the exact day Jesus entered Jerusalem, known as the triumphal entry. Jesus is fulfilling his messianic prophecy. This same crowd who is saying Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna means save us now. These people were crying out on the top of their lungs. These are the people who could say hang around with Jesus in the Sea of Galilee. They didn't want anything. They didn't want to commit their personal, make a personal commitment to Jesus, but they want something from him. That's the reason why they follow Jesus. And now they are following Jesus, and this is supposed to be king who is riding on the donkey, according to Zechariah. They are thinking that, wow, this messianic king will fulfill our dream. That is freeing them from the Roman occupation. You with me so far? However, they did not expect this person to come in peace. They were thinking that this person will build some sort of an army and fight against Roman soldiers. And they are the same people, about a week later, crucify him on top of their lung. Let's turn our attention to our heart for a few moments. They're saying that Jesus is the King, the Messiah. To you, who is he? Is he King in your heart? Or is he some sort of emergency personnel when you're in deep trouble, you call out on him and ask him to help you out. And when you don't no longer need him because the problem is solved, you ask him to go back to your room. Is he King that rule over your life, or are you the one who rule your own life? If you are the one who is ruling your own life, it is no wonder why your life is a mess. As long as you have that reign in your own heart, I guarantee you, you will not see the daylight. You will not see the victory in your life. You let go. Let God do it. Let God reign your heart. And no longer emergency personnel who called on when the time is bad. I've seen many people who come to church when the time is bad. Pastor, pray for me. Pastor, pray for me. And when the situation becomes good, I don't see him until next emergency. Stop it. Let him be the King of your life all the time. While I'm at it, let's talk about praise and worship. We sang the praise and worship songs. We don't sing that song so you can come in late. You know what I mean? It's not our church only. It's the other churches too. They come in, well, let's look at it. Okay, calculate the time. So from 10 o'clock until they will go on for another half hour, that's a worship time. So I'm not going to go there. I'll just go in for the sermon. Folks, the songs we sing is not for you. It's not time for you to come in late. We worship Jesus, our Father in heaven. He is the object of our worship and subject of our adoration. So if we don't sing the songs that were your favorite, quote-unquote, favorite songs, well, who cares? What if we sing rap? What if we sing hee-haw country music? As long as it's a worship song, who cares? We're worshiping him. We will adore him. So a lot of people say, well, if they sing my favorite worship song, worship was good. If they don't sing my favorite song, worship was terrible. No, it's from you. These people worshiped him, and they are not cheerleaders. They just happen to be the one who has a better voice than we do. Whenever I sing, I have a tendency to entertain God, but punish other people so they don't put me in there. But get this, guys. With a cracking voice, whatever the kind of voice God gave you, if you worship, adore God, he loves it. Worship is for him. So when you come in here, when the music starts, worship him with all your heart. Let's try that. Let's practice that. When we finish this teaching, and they're going to come up one more song, let's sing our heart to God. See what he does to you. Well, there's three things I find. When we do the worship, number one, we acknowledge who he is. Number two, we get to have right perspective from God's eye into our lives. Number three, and we get to know his heart. Let's say there's a husband and wife. If a husband does not do what to please his wife, first of all, he's going to sleep on the couch most of the time. Secondly, he's in constant trouble, and you know how the ladies do. What's the matter? Husband asks, nothing. Husband, you know that thing. Nothing means, yes, there is something. If you haven't figured it out, I'm not going to tell you, you idiot. So you might as well keep it up. Say, I'm sorry. Okay? When you say, when you want to do something good to the woman, you got to praise, you got to respect the woman. When you, while you're doing that, you get to know her. Same thing, the other way too. How can we get to know God unless we praise Him, adore Him, respect Him? Worship is not just singing a few songs before teaching. Worship is coming here, singing our love song to Him. After looking this temple, hours was late, so he left Jerusalem, went back to Bethany. Who were living in Bethany? Any of you remember? Lazarus, the guy who walked out from the grave. Lazarus and Martha and Mary. Probably he stayed. I'm not saying that arguing that he stayed there. I'm not going to make a big doctrine of it because it's not in the Bible. But most likely he stayed there and probably preparing himself, praying for what's going to happen in 7 days, or even rather 6 days. Let's continue in verse 12. Now the next day, when they had come out of the Bethany, and he was hungry, and seeing from afar the fig tree having leaves, and he went to see it if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not season for fig. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And his disciple heard it. Fig leaves look like this. You can find a lot of this around Israel. Fig leaves, fig tree also represent Israel. What's the whole few verses, the three verses talking about? See, Jesus saw this fig tree. Whenever a fig tree has a leaf, it means it shows that there, let's try again. Presence of leaves means that there is a presence of fruit. Fig tree always have a fruit, whether it's from the last season or coming up. Fig leaves does not stay on the branches unless there's a fruit. But this particular fig tree did not have a fruit. That symbolized the nation of Israel. Outwardly, it has all the opportunity, but it does not show, outwardly it has a religious fervor, but inwardly it has nothing. Also, we're going to find the back-to-back judgment by Jesus. Not only the fig tree is cursing the fig tree, and he's going to cleanse out the temple. That's inwardly corrupted. So let's repeat that thing one more time. Outwardly, it was fruitless. Inwardly, it was corrupted. That's the nation of Israel. Let's go to the 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. 2 Timothy. If you don't know much about the Bible, 2 Timothy is located in New Testament, right before Titus. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. Having form of godliness, but denying its power, from such people turn away. Many people who comes into church, who come to church, they pretend or even deceive themselves they are godly or Christian. I just read an article within the non-believers, 60% of them assuming that they are Christian, even though they have no Jesus Christ in their heart as a personal Savior and Lord. So, and also it's known as over 90% of Americans think that somewhat they are Christian. Has nothing to do with the salvation because they were born in America. A lot of people have this kind of tendency. Well, I went to the church a few times, so I must be Christian. Unless you are born again Christian, unless you have Jesus Christ into your heart as a Lord and Savior, let me tell you very clearly, you are not Christian. Verse 15. I know I'm not making friends, but so what? So they came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of money changers and the seat of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. And he taught the saying to them, "And is it not written, my house shall be called house of prayer for all nations? But you have made a den of thieves." And scribes and chief priests heard it and saw how they might destroy him. For they feared him because all the people were astonished at his teaching. When the evening came, he went out of the city. This is the second day. This is not the only time Jesus cleansed the temple. The first time he came in the book of John chapter 2, he cleansed the temple. Not very long after, chief priests and scribes allowed these money changers and the merchants to creep back into the temple. What the problem? What is the problem? See, money changers and merchants, giving them a kickback to this priest and merchant. This temple, this is the model. If you go to the Israel, you will see the miniature of Jerusalem during the time of Jesus. This would be temple. This side would be east side. That's the temple facing to the Mount Olive. Okay, note this, please. See how this tall building is, how tall it is. Look at the gate. That's the gate. Height of the gate would be about this high. People can go in and out. So you can imagine how tall this building is. And overlaid with gold. So sunrise from the east side of Mount Olive. All the sunlight is hitting this area and that dazzling color. All the gold leaves was just showing the reflection of the sunlight. These people had this beautifully done building. Now, this side, this is inside of Holy of Holy. It is the inner court and this is the outer court. It's for the Gentiles. The Gentile place should be a great place for the mission work. People who those Gentiles believe that Jehovah God is one true God, so they come all the way from all over the world, and they come here to worship God. And they set up this market. What's the big deal about having a market inside the temple? Original concept was great. They bring these animals, sacrificial animals, and some of them has a blemish. According to this priest, they already approved some of the animals inside of the temple, outer court, where they can purchase this animal. Of course, those animals are outrageously priced. And also, every male, Jewish male, are supposed to pay a temple tax once a year, about 2 days' wage. Wouldn't that be great if we just paid the 2 days' wage for the tax instead of paying, 25 to 30%? Everyone's supposed to pay. However, temple has its own currency. So they have to exchange their normal Jewish money, which was Roman's coin, into Jewish currency, temple currency. When they do that, exchange ratio is extremely bad for the people who are selling this coin. So they're making a lot of money from this. The slide back in, please. Thank you. This outer court is filled with the merchant making money. That place should be place of praying instead of not become praying and paying. They're exhorting these people in the left and right. Let's stop here and look at our own temple. In the New Testament, 1 Corinthians says, our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, listen carefully, please. If you are born again Christian, when you received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, Holy Spirit came into your heart. Holy Spirit resides in your heart. And your body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. What are you going to do with that temple of the Holy Spirit? Are you going to just let it loose? and then let the sin come back. When the Jesus came to your heart and he became a savior, he cleansed your heart, right? And because our sinful nature, we let this carnal garbage come into your heart, our heart again. And our heart become filled with the carnal garbage. Folks, nobody controls except us. It's for us to let this kind of garbage come into our heart, or we can put the great word from the Word of God into our heart. Let's go to verse 20. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig leaves, a fig tree dried up from the root. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, Have a faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, that whoever say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, and believe that those things they say will be done, he will have whatever he say. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you will receive them, and you will have them. Can you imagine if there were the green earth environment movement people around Jesus when he cursed and killed this tree? They would have a major hiss fit. This is the third in Jerusalem. Now, in Jewish imaginary, Jewish way of saying, the mountain represents immovable thing and major problem. It cannot be solved. It cannot be pushed around. This is what he's talking about. He's not talking about little mountain. Maybe it can be your financial problem. Maybe it can be your marital problem or your work problem. Whatever that is, if we believe in God, I'm not talking about having faith in faith, but having faith in God. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John is located way in the back of the New Testament, right after 2 Peter chapter 5, 14 and 15. We cannot take what we just read from the book of Mark out of context. Whatever you ask, it will be given to you. No. Now, verse 14 of 1 John, chapter 5. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. If we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of him. According to his will. If we say, I want this out of God's will, most likely God will not give it to us. But if we insist, he might even allow us to have it, just to teach us a lesson. So best not to ask for something you want out of God's will, because you will pay for it. Prayer is not an emergency measure that we can turn to when the problem occurs. Especially Lord's Prayer. Some people have a tendency to bring out this major prayer, Lord's Prayer. As soon as you say that things are going to happen and things are going to go according to your way, no, it's not. Lord's Prayer, known as Lord's Prayer, is a pattern for the prayer for us to use. Let's go back to Mark chapter 11. Are you guys hot? Sorry, I cannot do anything about it, so. Verse 25, whenever you stand and praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Would you underline the last verse, please? If you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Why is that important for us to have the forgiveness for others? True prayer requires two things. Number one, faith in God. Number two, forgiveness. for others. If we are going to ask God to forgive our sins, how can we hold a grudge against somebody else? How can we hold bitterness against somebody else that we are asking God to forgive ours? So God is telling us, and Matthew and John, he teaches us, go take care of that thing and come back. And he will accept that sacrifice. Person who do not forgive others, listen carefully, please. Person who do not forgive others are the prisoner of his own and her own bitterness. Guess who is having problem when you have a bitterness? Not the other person, you. The bitterness is a sin. And you might say, how do you come up with that idea? Bitterness is sin. Bitterness comes from our idea that God is not doing the things the way we want against that person. So we become bitter toward God, first of all. We become bitter to that person. When we have a bitterness against God, are we sinning? Are we not sinning? We are sinning. That means we are the one who is in trouble, not somebody else. Folks, let go of that bitterness. Forgive that person. You will be set free. However, that doesn't mean that just because you forgive somebody, that doesn't mean you have to restore the relationship, whatever that person caused and broke the relationship. For example, your former spouse cheated on you left and right, and he left. You have to forgive that person. As a Christian, forgiveness is mandatory. Forgiveness is essential. However, restoration is dependent on the situation. Verse 27. Then they came again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, and chief priests and scribes and elders came to him, and they said to him, by what authority are you doing these things, and who gives you this authority to do these things? But Jesus answered and said to him, I also will ask you one question. Then answer me, and then I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from man? Answer me. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, if we said from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from man, they fear the people, for all count John have been the prophet indeed. So they answered and said to Jesus, we do not know. And Jesus answered and said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. This bloodhound of hatred coming after Jesus again to the last moment. They are not trying to get the truth, but they are trying to trick him and to try to hurt him. Jesus simply using question to expose their hypocrisy. When Jesus asked him to answer the question he asked, John the Baptist, is it from heaven or is it from man? If they said heaven, and he, of course, as they was guessed, why didn't you believe him? What was the main job description of John the Baptist? And you know? Anyone you know? Was forerunner. Exactly. Forerunner of Messiah. So John the Baptist declared that Jesus is the Messiah. And they believed John the Baptist as forerunner of Jesus Christ. Then they had, Jesus has all the authority. Am I making sense? But because they denied him, Jesus say, I'm not going to answer you. They even pretended ignorance. They fear, not only they try to keep their position, but also they fear the people, popularity. In today's world, no one wants to be bold and told what, no one wants to be told what to do. I know one person who used to tell me, don't tell me what to do. That person always challenges the authority. Nowadays, seems like it's a thing. Challenge authority. They even have a bumper stickers. Let me tell you this. There is a final authority. That's not government. That's not President of the United States. That's not you. To your surprise. That's not Buddha. That's not Allah. That's not Muhammad. That's not some New Age guru from Twilight Zone, La La Land. And that's not Hare Krishna. That's Jesus Christ. One day he will come back. His name will be written on his thigh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And no one can deny him. Every tongue, every tribe, every man will fall on their knees and declare that Jesus is Lord. It's better for you to say Jesus is Lord now than later you're forced to say Jesus is Lord. Let's make an application. Number one, walking with Christ requires daily devotion, prayer, and daily cleansing through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you don't have any of these three things, you cannot just settle for one. You need all three. Daily devotion through the Word of God and prayer. Constant communion with God Himself. And daily cleansing. Asking God to forgive your sin. Not to man, but to God. Then we can have right walk with Christ. Second application. We might be able to fool others with our spiritual piety. But we cannot fool God or we cannot mock Him. When we sit on our seat in the here and look at each other, we might say, that person is so pious, that person is so spiritual. Not. If we can see each other in here, somehow spiritual bodies within here, we'll be gasping for the surprise and regret. Some of us will be spiritually completely malnutrition because you don't feed yourself with the Word of God. You might be able to feed yourself with the food, physical food, every day, three times a day, or even more. Some of you guys or some of you girls, special diet. Nothing wrong with that. But you need this Word. If without this, you are malnutrition spiritually. It is no wonder why we fall for the temptation. Third application. Our prayer must be in the will of God, and we must be abiding in the love of God. We cannot say we are praying in the will of God when we are not living and abiding in the love of God. I hope that this sinks in your heart. Prayer is not something we demand to God. He's not gigantic Santa Claus in the heaven with the hands just waiting for you to say something so he can just drop everything and do something for you. He's not. He's a mighty God. He's the master of the universe. We are puny human beings. Let's stand up and pray.